Welcome to Heartline. I'm Rita Schulte, a licensed therapist in the Northern Virginia, D.C. area, and I'm passionate about matters of the heart. I want to check the pulse on your heart by taking a look at some of the cutting-edge issues that are affecting you and the people around you, and have you consider, how in the world is all this mess called life affecting your heart? To help stir things up, we're going to be talking to some of the leading professionals in the Christian counseling and literary industry, as well as hosting discussions with real people who are struggling with real-life issues. If you want to know a little bit about me, check me out at ritaschulte.com. That's S-C-H-U-L-T-E.com, where you can ask questions, find out about my book, listen to other podcasts, or request to be a guest on the show. You can also find me on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC or follow me on Twitter at Heartline Pod. So let's get going on this journey of the heart. Ramsey's kid, Rachel Cruz learned the basic principles of money at an early age. She travels across the country teaching those same principles to teens and young adults. Rachel's also the host of Generation Change, a course that teaches teens about money and empowers them with the skills they need to become financially responsible adults. To find out more about Rachel, visit daveramsey.com/speakers or follow her on Twitter at Rachel Cruz. Rachel, welcome to Heartline.
Thank you so much, Rita. Thanks for having me.
What was it like growing up with Dave Ramsey as your dad? What did you learn?
I know. I feel like I get that question all the time.
I'm sure you do.
Yeah, and you know, my answer I feel like is always kind of boring because, I mean, it was just normal. You know, it was just like any other dad you have. Obviously, Mom and Dad were intentional with teaching us how to handle money and how money works. But besides that, yeah, it was pretty normal. It was just my dad.
Mm-hmm. And did you have, how many siblings did you have?
I have two siblings. I have an older sister and a younger brother.
Okay, so they started real early teaching you about money.
Yes, they did. You know, ever since I can remember, you know, we were never given an allowance as kids. We were always on commission.
Oh, really? What was that?
You work, you get paid. You don't work, you don't get paid. It's kind of like the real world. And
yeah.
You find out when you're 5 years old, I guess. And so, yeah, so things like that, you know, we always associated work with money, which was a great thing. And I think a lot of things parents need to do is for that, for their little kids especially, is that money doesn't come from your back pocket. Money comes from work. And then once we got that money, we learned to give first, save second, and spend third.
So when should parents start teaching their kids about money principles? When's old enough?
You know, it's really, they're never really, you know, too old, too young. You know, I always say just start where you're at. Because even a five-year-old, kind of like what we just talked about, can grasp, okay, if I put a toy away, I get paid for that. You know, you can already start showing them. And obviously, chores and that kind of thing, it's going to be age-appropriate. You're not going to make, you know, your five-year-old clean up and dust the room and expect it to be perfect, obviously. You'll just help them along. And then, you know, for little kids, you know, I always tell parents, you know, to do the chores. And they get paid right there on the spot. And then you can save up that money in a big, clear plastic container and then go buy something with it. Go to Target, go to Toys R Us. So they can start associating, you know, work with money. And then you save that money and you can go buy something you want.
Okay, so you're saying even when they're that little, pay them and pay them right on the spot. So what about like teaching them that they're just part of this family and part of the team and they do certain things just, you know, because of that?
Yes, and there's that as well. You know, for us, as Ramsey kids, the kitchen was kind of always the place. We never got paid to clean up the kitchen or take our plates to the sink. That was always just because you're a part of the family.
Right.
But they did reward us in things like cleaning up your room, feeding the dog, taking out the trash, you know, those kind of things, which, you know, obviously you have to be a little bit older to do those types of things. So there are chores that I would recommend parents doing. Yeah, again, just like you said, because you're part of the family, But others, you know, let that be a learning opportunity for them to experience working and getting paid.
So that's something that parents can kind of talk about and decide and then talk about with their kids, even
yes,
when they're little.
Exactly. Yeah, yeah. Get on the same page with your spouse about it and decide what's good for your family. And it's going to look different for everyone. But I just know I was so thankful, again, for that, because I think, you know, when parents don't do that and they just give, you know, even when they're up to be teenagers, they just give them money out of their back pocket, a 20 every time they ask. When they go into the real world, you know, it's a hard reality to realize, oh my gosh, this is really how money works. So teaching them from a very early age is the best case scenario.
Do you have children yet?
I don't actually, no.
Okay.
So I'm just speaking out of the eyes of a child that grew up.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, you'll have plenty of practice, I'm sure, once you have kids. Okay. So why is it important for teens to learn about money?
Well, they're at a pivotal point in their life, you know, because they'll graduate high school soon, you know, within the next three to five years, or even, sorry, a year to 5 years, and they'll be off to college and off on their own, and they're going to have to learn how money works. So teenagers, this is a big thing, because teenagers can do a lot. You know, they can do a lot more chores. They can save up for bigger things like a laptop or a car, and they can really start putting money to practice and really start experiencing how money works. And so teenagers, I think that is such a pivotal age, and especially because of going to college. Because college, they make so many mistakes with money. So we try to get them on the front end, the preventative side, and say, hey, before you go off on your own, here are things you need to know.
Do you think kids today or teens today have like an air of entitlement when it comes to money? I mean, what are you seeing as you go around the country speaking?
You know, I think a lot of people would say that, and I would say, yes, there's groups. For sure. They're probably more entitled than ever. But I never want to give this generation a bad rap, because there are some teens out there that really want to work hard and you know, somewhat, quote unquote, do the right thing.
Mm-hmm.
But there is. And, you know, and I think this generation is just so different, you know, especially the teenagers and college students today, because they grew up in a generation unlike any other generation in history.
Yeah.
Because of things like technology and social media, and it's just instant gratification is what I call it.
Yes.
So they're going to struggle with things like debt, because they can have anything, whatever they want, at an instant. Any kind of information, anything they need to know, it's all on their iPhone. They get anything instantly, and they can change, you know, I mean, it's just so, so quick. And so when you relate that into money, you know, because of a credit card or loans, you know, they can get whatever they want right on the spot without having money. They can swipe that credit card, go sign that car loan, and then get whatever they want. So this generation, I think, with stuff and debt is going to be a hard cycle to break, because what I'm teaching is to let them save up and pay for things in cash, and that takes patience.
Well, how's that being received?
You know, it's good. I think a lot of teenagers, they want to know, and college students, they want to know how money works, and especially if they're believers, you know, they want to know what God says about money. And so we're finding that, you know, there is, they're really receiving it well, because no one's teaching the subject at all to them. So I think they really are curious. And, you know, high school students, reality hasn't really set in for them when it comes to money, because the parent really dictates, you know, how they interact with money. But as a college student, I mean, when they're out on their own and they're realizing, oh my gosh, if I swipe this credit card, that bill does come in 30 days. And they're starting to really hit the reality of that. And so I think they're starting to feel the pressure of debt, you know, especially with student loans. That's a whole other subject we could get into. But they are receiving it well, because I think it's just a different message.
So what do you think the most important things for teens to understand about money are?
I mean, I think the most important subject, the most critical at this point, I think is debt, in my opinion, because this is the most indebted generation in history. Student loans have gotten completely out of control. They've exceeded over $1 billion, you know, exceeded credit card debt in America. And so it's just going to be really hard for this generation to believe that they can live life without debt. You know, in the scripture in Proverbs, the borrower is slave to the lender. That's a very, very true statement on so many levels, the emotional, spiritual, mathematical side, that, you know, you are a slave to whoever lends that to you. And sadly, again, this is the most indebted generation in history. And so I want to break that for them. And I want to show them how they can live in freedom.
Do they care that they're in all this debt, Rachel? I mean, is that, or is the mindset just, oh, well, you know, I can pay for it later? Is that so ingrained?
At first, they don't care. I mean, yeah, it's the idea we can pay for it later. But then when reality hits and they see, oh my gosh, okay, I've graduated college, my student loan is coming in 6 months, the job I got, you know, is only paying $32,000, and then that's not even $32,000 because I have taxes, and all these realities start hitting them.
Yeah.
And they realize, oh my gosh, life is so expensive, and they realize they're stuck. And I usually find that a lot, you know, the 22, 23, 24-year-olds where those, that reality is hitting of, gosh, I wish someone had told me this at 18. Because those decisions in those first four years of college, it's hard. So a lot of college students, I'm trying to get that reality to them quickly and say the decisions you make now can set you up well for the future. But sadly, the ones that don't make those wise decisions, they're really feeling the pressure after college graduation.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm sure they are. What do you think some mistakes are that you see teens make with their money?
You know, I think, well, teens especially, you know, I think they believe, well, I'll just worry about that subject later in life. The urgency is not there for them to really know how money works. So they just think, well, I'm a teenager, I have a part-time job, I just make enough money, you know, to hang out with my friends and buy some stuff I want. I mean, that's the extent of their money. And that's fine, you know, for a little bit. You know, I don't think teens need to have to necessarily have to have like a master's degree in finance or anything crazy. But I really want them to grasp the urgency of just understanding how money works. Things like budgeting, being on a budget as a teen, learning to save and pay for things, and learning to give and to serve in their community. So the earlier they can grasp that, the better. Because, Rita, that's my story. I mean, I grew up in a house where I learned how money works. And so now, you know, being in my mid-20s, I'm not perfect with money. I make mistakes. But the overall, I haven't made major financial devastating mistakes with my money because I've learned and, you know, and I've learned what to do and what not to do. And so I really want teens just to grasp a general roadmap, say, hey, if you go down this, if you tell your money where to go, if you budget, if you save, if you stay away from debt, and if you give, your financial future is going to be bright.
That's amazing, you know, at your young age. I know my son was always saying, gee, I just never realized, you know, how much it really took to, you know, operate in the real world and how hard it is and all this stuff. You know, dad was just always there. And, you know, it's just
Yes. And, you know, and I'll even say I had a moment of that, you know, probably my first 6 weeks of actually having a career and working. I mean, I kind of woke up, I remember one morning and thinking, oh my gosh, you know, I have to go to work. I have bills to pay. And it's not, you know, and then you think, again, taxes and, you know, the rent and the food and cable, you know, these 100 TV channels don't just appear. You have to pay for them every month. And so, yeah, I mean, there is a little bit of a reality that sets in no matter where you are in life. I think, you know, oh my gosh, this is it. This is real.
So what can teens do now to set themselves up for financial success? What kinds of things are you teaching?
Well, number one, I would love for them to know how to work and make an income. And I'm okay, you know, if parents give their teens a certain amount of money every month, but I want it to be a consistent idea of, okay, I have this money, where does it need to go? So I really want them to learn how to budget. Second, I want them to say, I am never, ever, ever going to go into debt for anything. I'm not going to get a credit card. I'm not going to get a car loan. I'm not going to get a student loan. And so I think when they make this decision of no matter what, I'm not going into debt, when they can make that as early as possible and ingrain that in them, then their life choices from here on out are going to be different, and they're going to have to make different choices than their friends. But just solidifying that I am not going to be a slave to the lender. I'm not going into debt. Because I think, again, with this generation and everything, I mean, they're losing so much money, mathematically speaking. You know, if you just invested the average car payment from age 18 to age 65, it comes out to be about $5 million. And so I show them this math that says you're wasting your money when you're going into debt versus what you can be doing with it. So living on a budget, staying out of debt, saving. I want them to save up for things they want and grasp the idea, you know, once they pay for something with their own money, they treat that thing differently. There's a sense of ownership, and I want them to experience that as a teenager, whether it be with a laptop, a car, you know, or an outfit, anything. I really want them to learn to save and pay for things. And lastly, and should be probably the first, but I want them to be giving, to learn to live with an open hand with their money. I think that's so, so important because there is, you know, a spirit of, you know, greed and what's mine is mine. And I really want them to live with an open hand and to allow themselves to be open when they need to give and when they need to serve. Because I think that's so important to be selfless in this culture as well.
So you're saying no credit cards? Like, you don't have any credit cards personally?
No, I don't have any credit cards. I have two debit cards, a personal debit card and one on the business.
Okay, so you use the debit card?
Yes.
Okay, and how do they receive that whole piece with the credit cards? They open that out?
You know, pretty good. I mean, for the most part, you know, credit card companies have done a really great job of marketing themselves as, you know, that credit cards aren't a big deal. It's normal. Everyone gets a credit card. And so for them, I mean, I think it takes them back because majority of their parents have credit cards. But, you know, when you map it out and show them the math behind it, you know, if they miss a payment, the interest and that kind of thing, and just the idea of owing someone something at the end of each month instead of just using your money, they start to grasp it. I mean, I think it's obviously a very, very different message. So high school students are probably a little bit more skeptical. College students actually kind of receive it well because they've been in credit card debt. And they realize, gosh, if I didn't have this debt over my head, you know, my decisions, everything could look a little different. And so I think that they're seeing, yeah, the light of hope. And I think just the idea of being a debt-free generation, hopefully that they're getting on board and seeing that as a positive.
How can parents help teach their kids about all this? What are some things they do on the front end?
Well, I think just having the conversations. I mean, mom and dad were never obsessive about this topic. They were intentional, but it was not the middle of conversation every night at dinner about money by any means. So I would tell parents, you know, to start the conversation, little things, you know, showing them, hey, groceries this week cost, you know, $200, $300 or whatever it is, you know, and the kids start grasping, oh my gosh, it takes that much to eat and to feed the house. So start showing them a little bit of the realities of life when it comes to money. And second, I always tell parents, more is caught than taught. Your kids are watching you. They're watching how you're interacting with money. They're watching if you're giving, if you're saving, if you're spending, if you're budgeting. They're watching you.
Oh, absolutely.
So a lot of this is from example, I think. That's where I learned a lot of my lessons, was just watching mom and dad. And we have a great tool. It's called Generation Change, and it's a teen Bible study that walks teenagers through God's ways of handling money. And we cover all of these subjects in that. I mean, everything, even from investing, student loans, insurance, budgeting, their identity, materialism, everything. So this is a great tool to help parents start that conversation with their teens.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I want to talk a little bit more about that. But first of all, what do you see are some major problems that money can cause long term? I mean, obviously debt.
Yes. Yeah. And I think just the idea of being out of control. There's a whole generation that's not being able to retire, and a lot because their money has just happened to them their entire life. They've not been proactive and they have not taken control of their money. So that's what I always encourage students to do, is you have to be the one to tell your money what to do. Your money cannot just happen to you. I think when you go into marriage, I mean, marriage is a whole other topic that I know a lot of teenagers aren't thinking about, but I do want to prep them on the front end. And sadly, the number one cause of divorce in North America today is money fights and money problems. And so money takes a huge toll on marriages today. So I really want them to grasp the importance of, when you get older and you're an adult, you know, these money decisions that you've made are going to follow you into your marriage. You know, if you take out a big student loan, things like that, that becomes your money with your spouse. And so, yes, can you get out of that and get out of debt? Absolutely. But agreeing on the front end with your spouse how money works is a big thing. And a lot of your habits that you form as a teenager, as a college student, as a young adult, that follows you as a grown adult. So that's why I think it's important to start early and start establishing those healthy habits with money early.
Oh, absolutely. And they absolutely do follow you. You're absolutely right. Okay, so I looked at the Generation Change workbook, and it's awesome. You say in there that the most powerful financial principle is contentment. And I think that's so key for kids to learn because, you know, of all we've been talking about, we're driven by this idea of more and you deserve it and all that stuff. And so, you know, kids are growing up with this air of entitlement. How do you see the culture affecting, kids' views of contentment, and what can they do about it? What is Generation Change doing to bring out that awareness and affect change?
Yeah, well, I think, you know, it's kind of a cliche statement, but unpacking it is where really the truth comes out, is that stuff is not going to make you happy. Is stuff fun? Yes. And I'm not against having nice stuff. I mean, I tell them, even in Generation Change, you know, once you save up and things like that, you know, and you're in the right financial position, go get you a great car. You know, when you're ready to buy a house, you can buy a great house, go do that. Like, I'm not against stuff, but stuff is not going to make you happy. If your identity comes from stuff, or the newness of stuff, that feeling, that high you get, you know, you're going to be a rat in the wheel for the rest of your life. You're going to be just running and running and running and running, and you're not going to go anywhere.
That's a great
analogy. You have to make a commitment to yourself and to see, okay, stuff is not going to make me happy. And as a believer, you know, finding your identity in Christ, and that's your ultimate contentment. You have to know where your identity lies, because if you look to the culture for where your identity is going to be. You're going to, it's going to be the most draining, empty identity you're ever going to find. You're not going to find one. So you really have to solidify that early as much as possible. And then, and then I think it helps on the right track, but it's hard. And that's what I always tell them. I understand that. I mean, I'm again in my mid twenties and, you know, I find myself saying, gosh, but I just have that new coat for winter, I'll be happy. You know, or if I could just have a better car, I'd be happy. I mean, I find myself saying that and I have to stop, reevaluate and say, no, Rachel, this stuff is not going to make you ultimately happy. Why are you discontent? What is making you feel this? And so I think just them walking through that and asking these hard questions to themselves. And this is a hard one, the contentment, you know, again, especially in this generation, in this culture.
Yeah. In what practical ways do you help kids understand the difference between wants and needs? That was a good piece.
Sure. Yeah. Well, I mean, you could lay it out very, very simply and say, okay, your need is what you have to physically live. What do you have to have? Well, you have to have clothes, you have to have food, shelter, and transportation to physically, you know, live in this culture today and make a living. Those are really the four things you have to have. And so, you know, we laid that out in Generation Change and say, okay, this is it. This is what you have to survive. Anything above that is a want. An iPhone, it's a want. Having a bigger and a better car, that's a want. You know, you need a car to get to work and all that. We understand that. So that can be considered a need. But having a bigger and better thing, that's always a want. And so really breaking that down and showing them. And once you can establish your needs versus wants and really look through the lens of that, it ends up saving you money. Because when you're on the grasp of wanting to buy something, you know, kind of spontaneously, impulsively, you know, you can look at yourself and say, okay, is this a need or a want? Do I really, really need this? Do I have the money for it? Well, if you do, sure, there's a little bit more flexibility. But when you don't, you're charging it to the credit card because you don't have the money, that's when you can really start evaluating, okay, this is a want. Need to back away and leave. And so I think just mapping it out in a really practical sense in that way is good for teenagers.
Yeah, absolutely. Just back away from it, you know, and see how you feel in even a few days or a week, you know. How many times do we
tell them to sleep on a purchase? If you're questionable, you know, and this is if you have the money, but you're still like, do I really need it? Go sleep on it. Put it on hold. Tell me you'll be back tomorrow. And then the next morning, if you still really want it or you feel like you need it, then you can go get it if you have the cash. But if you may wake up and that emotion's gone, that adrenaline's gone. It's okay, well, I really don't need that. Mm-hmm. I've done that plenty of times.
I love the quote in the workbook that says, Jesus said we can find out what's really in our hearts by looking at our treasures. How do you drive that point home to kids?
Yes, you know, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I mean, that's so true. I mean, if you start seeing the value and you're trusting in stuff to make you happy, if you're trusting in the world and you're trusting in these things and you're putting all of your energy and your heart into your stuff and your money all the time, and that's what your heart's going to be. I tell students all the time that money is like a magnifying glass. It makes you more of what you already are. So if you are a jerk and you get some money, then that's going to make you more. That's going to make you a colossal jerk and no one's going to want to hang out with you. But if you are giving and you're serving and you love people and you get some money, then you're going to get to help a lot of people. And so I always challenge them in that, you know, who are you? How do people see you? How do you see yourself? What's your character? Because that's very important when it comes to money. You know, money is not evil. The love of money is the root of all kinds of evil. Money is not. It's the love of it. So you really, really have to take this all into a balance and say, okay, I need to be a good steward. I need to handle my money well. I need to look to what the Bible says about money to handle it well. But this cannot be your identity. All of this stuff, it cannot be, you know, where all of your focus is all the time, because then that becomes an idol in your life. And so really looking at your heart, I think, is so, so important.
Yeah, you're really driving that point home. That's really, really powerful. What else do you talk about at Generation Change that's really important for them to learn?
Well, it's broken up into three series. So series one is really great, talking a lot about what we just talked about, your identity, contentment. We do a lot of flyovers of just kind of the generality of money. And then when you go into series two, it's called Do More With Your Money. And we really unpack in a really practical sense how to give. What does it look like to give? What does the Bible say about giving? How to spend, how to be on a budget, how to use cash, things like that. And even the envelope system is what we call it, where you actually budget out and you decide how much money you're going to spend on food, how much you're going to spend on gas, how much you're going to spend on clothes every month. And you go cash that out and put it into envelopes. So we really give them some practical tools to use in the spending category.
Oh, that's great. So they're actually doing stuff. They're actually doing this stuff. So they get a real feel for it.
Yes, and I have the envelope system. I have 5 envelopes that I use because we show them with teams, you know, when you spend with cash, it's powerful. Mm-hmm. It's emotional. You feel cash versus just feeling plastic. And B, there's an exchange happening. You know, when you buy a shirt at the mall and you give them money, you don't have the money anymore, but you have the shirt. So there's a literal exchange happening. But when you use plastic, especially the credit card, it's just a swipe and there's no emotion attached to it. So we really unpack even the psychology behind using cash and why that's such a benefit.
Mm.
And then we walk through savings as well. So we'll talk about, you know, short-term savings, long-term savings. We talk about investing. You know, explain what investing is, things like mutual funds, so they can grasp the importance of starting early.
Oh, man, that's awesome.
Yes, I know. And that's one thing is they don't realize, you know, how many years they're missing. And this is especially for college students. You know, they think, well, gosh, you know, I'm 19. I don't really need to save and I don't need to invest. But there's so much benefit of starting early. So really showing them how to start early. And then also, you know, how to save up for a car, how to save up for college, things like that. And then the final series 3, is called Go. And so it's Go Write Your Story. And that's everything having to do with after high school. So if you're going right into the real world, you know, we talk about the reality of having bills, talk about having a budget, that kind of thing in the real world. And also college. College is huge. So we kind of unpack things like how to be on a budget as a college student, how to go to college without a student loan, which is shocking. We spend the whole section on that. How can you live life without a credit card? How can you buy a car with cash?
So where can people get a hold of this course? I mean, do you do it? Is it an online thing they can do, or does it have to be something that you hook them up with somehow?
Yeah, if you go to DaveRamsey.com, yeah, you can buy it there. And what it is, it's a DVD and a workbook.
Okay.
And we have a parent guide as well. So those are the 3 things you'll get in Generation Change, the DVD, the workbook, and the parent guide.
That sounds awesome, Rachel. Well, we'll encourage everybody to get on this. I just so appreciate you taking the time today to be with us and to talk about this.
Yes, absolutely. Thank you so, so much, Rita. I appreciate
it. Say hi to your dad for us.
Thank you. We will. Thanks.
God bless. Thanks for joining me today. If you have a question or comment, or you'd like to be a guest on Heartline, I'd love to hear from you. You can contact me at ritaschulte.com, on Facebook at Rita Schulte LPC, or Twitter at Heartline Pod. And remember, it's your heart. Keep it alive. Check the pulse.